Well, welcome. I am so excited to be here. It is an honor to open the Word with you this morning and to be here. It's my favorite place to preach is at Walk Church. Amen. It's just so fun. The Lord's moving among the church. Let me just tell you, every time if I'm doing a welcome time or preaching, I'm going to let you know this. Because I work full-time with helping churches get started, church planting, strategizing around the city, around the state. And it is very rare to be a part of what you're being a part of right now. To see this many baptisms every week, I'm telling you, listen to me. There's places all over the country that would love to see one in a year. So it's an amazing thing, amen. Can we give God a hand for what he's doing at Walk Church? It's amazing. It's incredible to be a part of. Do not take it for granted. And I'm honored to be here. I will tell you this. One of the reasons I love preaching at Walk Church is because you guys talk back. So the more you talk back, the quicker you get out of here, okay? I told the first service that, but the third service is in trouble because if they don't talk back, we might be here all day. So, some of y'all like that. I like that. But man, I'm just honored to be here, honored to have you online as well with us this morning. And I want you to open your Bibles to Psalm chapter 1, and we're going to jump in this morning to this new collection, this series called Summer in the Psalms. I got a question to start off with this morning. How many of you love music? Yeah. I love music. How many of you love walk worship? I mean, come on, like, wow. Incredible this morning. I love music. You know, in fact, I can hear certain songs. There's certain songs that I hear that take me back to my childhood. I think it's like one of my responsibilities as a dad to teach my kids the word, but also music appreciation. You know what I'm talking about? Come on, they got to understand music. I can tell my kids all the time, you wouldn't have music today, like if it wasn't for like my generation and before, right? Like used to, we played instruments. Like, we used to, like, actually play in bands. Even if you were terrible, everybody had a band, right? It was, like, what you did. I love music. I can hear a song, and it takes me back to a moment in my life, a time in my life. And I just love to listen to it. I love to listen to all types of genres of music. In fact, I wanted to play a couple for you this morning. Can we do that?
Yeah.
I'll play a couple for you this morning. It takes me back to my childhood. This song was number one in 1982, the year I was born. I'll be 42 this year. This was number one. Play that song. If you know this song, come on. You know what I'm talking about? Pastor Hyde should start walking out to this song to preach. You know what I'm saying? I mean, when I hear this song, I'm ready to preach. Amen? Come on. All right. Well, I had actually to look up this morning who actually sang that song. I knew Eye of the Tiger, but Survivor was the name, right? Was the band. Is that right? Yeah, Survivor was the band. In fact, anytime you talk about music, I'm going to give you one more. Anytime you talk about music, you got to play this band because this band had so many hits and so many of their songs can take you back to your childhood. So play that next song. Come on. You know what I'm talking about, right?
You know it.
Every list has to have a Boyz II Men song on it or it's not a music list. Amen? Come on. All right, you can turn that off. Some people are reminiscing way too much of their past. Way too much, right? I'm not gonna ask you about that song, but I remember that song. Actually, I knew a couple growing up that was their couple song, and I'm like, you know what that song's about? It's about breaking up. Like, why is that song about you? Guys, anyways, people be weird. You know what I'm saying? Like, people be weird. They don't really understand music. But I love music. In fact, the Psalms is really music. It's really what it is. The Psalms are like a collection of songs and poetry that are divinely inspired to describe every kind of human experience and emotion. The word psalm we hear in the English language is actually translated from a Greek word that means songs accompanied by string music. That's what the Psalms are. The Psalms are meant to be instructive about God and about human life. It's very important to understand, though, when you read the Psalms, as we get in this collection this summer, it's very important to understand a few things about Psalms. Number one is this, is that the Psalms are not written in some sort of like laid out in some kind of chronological order. So meaning the Psalm 1 was not necessarily written before Psalm 2. So Psalms were collected by the people of God over generations and put in order under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God for a reason, but they weren't written in any kind of particular order. So many of the Psalms were written by King David. However, we believe that Psalm 1 was actually not written by King David. And the reason that is because some of the language that's in Psalm 1 is not in the rest of the Psalms. So some of the word structure is not the same you'll see anywhere repeated in the rest of the book of Psalms. But you do see some of the language in Psalm 1 back over in the book of Proverbs. And that's why we believe that most likely David's son Solomon wrote Psalm 1, because you'll see some of the language in Proverbs that you don't see in the rest of Psalms. So if you've got a Bible or a tablet there, I want you to scroll, open up to Psalm chapter 1, starting in verse 1, and we're going to read there. If you're there, say, I'm there.
There.
And if you're ready, say,
ready.
Let's eat. Let's eat. Come on, man. That's my favorite part of preaching at Walk. If you're ready, say, let's eat.
Let's eat.
That's what I love. That's what I love. Psalm 1, chapter 1, starting in verse 1. The psalmist writes, blessed is the one. Everybody say one. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law, his instruction, day and night. That person, say that person.
That person.
That one person is like a tree who's planted by streams of water, which yield its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do, say that word, whatever they do prospers. Whatever they do prospers. I want to preach a message today that I've simply entitled, God's Umbrella. God's Umbrella. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, I pray now as we open up your word, we read, we listen. Jesus, we know you're in the room. God, we don't need another TED Talk. We don't need an inspirational message from me. We need a transformational word from you. God, speak to me even during this passage, during this message. God, I do not rely on the second service or the first service. I rely on you fully right now. God, this service is different. There are these people that want to hear from you. I need you. We need you. God, would you speak to us directly into our hearts? And would we hear a message, a word from you today that literally transforms our lives? That we're not the same person that walks out of here that walked in here. God, we want that. Would you speak to us now? You know what God's people say? Amen. So the psalmist opens this book, Psalm 1, to really give a understanding of the rest of the 149 as we'll journey through the rest of the summer. And it really sets the tone for how we read the Psalms. And he starts off and he says, blessed is the one. Blessed is the one. If you take the word blessed and you were to pull that out and you were to translate blessed, blessed basically means happy. In fact, if you really translate it out in the Hebrew, it would be translated, oh, the happiness. Oh, the happiness. Oh, the happiness is the one. I love how the psalmist words, blessed is the one. Oh, happiness is the one. Isn't it interesting that it doesn't say blessed is everyone? He doesn't say blessed is everyone. He says, oh, the happiness is the one. The psalmist is talking about a specific type of blessing. He is not talking about a general happiness of life of all humans. He's talking about a very specific type of blessing. He is speaking of what we sometimes call the favor of God or the blessing of God. Happy is the one who operates according to God's instructions. How many of you today walked in here and said, Pastor Josh, I want the blessing of God on my life? Anybody? Okay, three of you. That's amazing. Awesome. Right? I want the blessing of God on my life. I need the blessing of God on my life. When I think about the word blessing, I think of the Old Testament word picture of a father blessing his children. In the Old Testament, a father would lay his hands on the head or the shoulders of his child and speak a word of blessing into their life. This is what the blessing means here. Oh, the happiness, this blessing is not everyone, but the one. And the one is blessed. How many of you know that when we think about the blessing of God, I need the hands of God on my life. You need the hands of God on your life. I need the hand of God on my marriage. I need the hand of God on my kids. I need the hand of God on my job. I need the hand of God on my health. I need the hand of God in every aspect of my life. Now, it's important to clarify this when you think about, because you're going to see this throughout the book. It's important to understand what this blessing, this happiness really is, this favor is, because what we're not talking about is justification. We're not talking about earning salvation. Okay, we're not talking about earning salvation or losing our salvation. Okay, we know based on salvation that salvation comes through faith alone in Jesus Christ as our Lord, King, and Savior. And when we put our faith in Jesus, what he did on the cross for our sins, then what happens is that he imputes his righteousness on us. He gives his righteousness to us. So when we put our faith in Jesus, not in ourselves to earn it, but completely in what he did on the cross for us, God looks at us and doesn't see us. God sees us as righteous because Jesus was righteous. Amen? So that's that type of blessing we're not talking about. That's justification. And I love this because the fact is that because if God has justified you and God has saved you, no one can take that from you. You didn't do anything to earn it, and you can't do anything to lose it. And nobody can take it from you. And so that's why John 10:28, when Jesus says, I give them eternal life so that they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. No one. Isn't that amazing? Now, so it's true that we live as blessed people. Amen? We live under the umbrella of the blessing of God. However, we're established under God's blessing because what God has done for us on the cross. But that does not mean that we're not supposed to walk into righteousness or walk for righteousness. Here, I'll explain it. Look at 1 Peter 2:24. He himself bore our sins, speaking of Jesus, in his body on the cross. You see what Peter's doing? He's doing exactly what I just did. He's telling you, he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that. Why did he die for us? So that we would not do what? Might die to sin and do what? Live for what? Righteousness. Right? And I love this. Peter sandwiches that. He says it again so that you understand what we're talking about. He says, by his wounds, we are what? Healed. It's by Jesus' wounds that we are healed. But because we've been healed, we've been given the power to walk for righteousness, to walk into righteousness. We are to live holy lives. Amen? We are to walk into this and walk for it. Now, it's important to understand when we think about the blessing, I like to think of it in illustrations. I'm a very practical, I like pictures, I like practical stuff. So I like to think of this as a bad luck, right? So y'all be okay, I promise. If I fall off the stage, then we're good. We'll know why. But listen, this is the umbrella of God. The way I like to think of the blessing that the psalmist is talking about is us living under the instruction and the umbrella of God's blessing. I didn't get this umbrella because I earned it. I'm standing under God's umbrella because he put me there. He plucked me out. He gave me the ability to access the umbrella. Are you with me?
Yeah.
What the psalmist is talking about here is there are times when we are influenced to step outside of the instructions of God's word for our life, and we are exposed to the elements that want to kill, steal, and destroy us. Now, are you going to heaven? Yes, because God put you there. But God's ultimate desire, listen, is not just to save you so you can go to heaven. God's ultimate desire is that you would enjoy the joys of knowing him here on earth, to walk in your righteousness, to claim what is yours, and to enjoy the beauty of his presence in your life. And what happens is when you walk outside of his instructions, his word for your life, you then expose yourself to a world that wants to kill, steal, and destroy you. And that is the blessing of God. That is the blessing that the psalmist is talking about here. And he gives us some ways in which we are to stand under the blessing of God. Now, I like to think of it like this. I'll put this over here. I like to think of it like this. I was in a room with a guy named O.S. Hawkins, pastor, and he said this, and I thought it was so impactful. He said that the favor of God for the Christian, this is if you put your faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord, King, and Savior, the favor of God on your life looks like this. God's hands are on you because you're his child. But when we step outside of his instructions on our life, as a good father does, a good father does discipline to pull you back under his instruction. However, God will never punish you. God will not punish his kids. He punished Jesus. He punished his child for you on the cross for your sins. So God, the favor of God is not that God's going to keep pressing harder on you to make you suffer. Okay? The favor of God is that you would walk outside from under his umbrella to lose the favor of God is walking outside the umbrella to experience the elements of the world that wants to kill, steal, and destroy you. For the Christian, you don't have to be afraid to lose the ultimate favor of God. But the fear of God is not that God would press on you. The fear of God is that he might take his hand off of you and let you walk into the elements of the world. It's like a child. It's like my son, my daughter. I want them to enjoy all that life has for them under boundaries. You with me? For what's best for their life. But they're not robots. So I can instruct them on how to live their life for what's best for their life. But if they choose to walk outside of my instruction, does it change that they're my son or my daughter? No. But I grieve because they don't live under the instruction that is best for their life, and they're exposed to the things that will ruin their life. Are you with me? It's the same with our Heavenly Father. In fact, I love when O.S. Hawkins says that. He says, hey, like as a Christian, you don't have to fear. The fear of God is not fearing his punishment. The fear of God is that if you're walking outside of the umbrella. Are you with me? Say, I'm with you. All right. So the psalmist gives three ways in which we live under the umbrella of God. He gives three ways in which we experience where we get the full benefit of God's blessing of the joy of our salvation on our life. Number one is this. He says, the blessed. Oh, the happiness is the one who flees sin. Who flees sin. Verse 1. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of the mockers. Do you guys see the progression? Walk, stand, sit. What's the psalmist doing? The psalmist here is not contrasting righteousness and wickedness. The psalmist here is contrasting the difference between being drawn by being influenced from one place to another place. He's saying you're being pulled and influenced in two different directions. That's what he's contrasting. So it works like this. When I'm living under the umbrella of God's instruction, his word in my life, what happens is when I'm influenced by the world, when I'm influenced by sin, I don't just sit first. Come on. How many of you know that most things that ruin, sins that ruin people's lives are not things they just jump full board in? It's things that they first walked by. It's things that they walked around, played with. And then they found themselves standing outside of the umbrella of God. And then one day they saw them found themselves sitting outside the umbrella of God. But it never just started with sitting. It started by walking. What the psalmist is saying here is that there's a progression of influence in our life. Because where or who you're most often influenced by is where you end up. So walking is basically listening to counsel that is contrary to God's instruction for your life. And as you listen to counsel, you start to have a temptation for it. You will find yourself standing in it. And you're standing outside of the instructions of God. And if not careful, you'll find yourself sitting with those who mock God and mock the instructions of God. And where is God most enjoyed? Under the instruction and umbrella of what he's created for you. In fact, when I was preparing this message, I had to write this because I tell you, anytime you prepare a word, this is not like public speaking. When you're in the word and you're preparing a message, you're spending time with the Lord. Can I just tell you, I was way more convicted this week than you probably are going to be. Like, I mean, I wrestled with this text because that's just how it works. God really worked on my own life this week. And can I just say this because I think it's really, really important. I wrote this down. I want you to write it down. It is so true that I and you are most happy. We are, oh, the happiness. Salvation is much more enjoyed when I am living under the umbrella of God's instruction for my life. When I step outside of that to do my own thing, when I walk around it, I find myself standing outside of God's instruction for my life, it's miserable. But when I'm living as a blessed son or daughter of the King, under God's word, the instruction that he has for my life, I am most happy. I experience the joy of my salvation. So Psalm 1 is starting off this verse with like a strong warning sign. In fact, I want to double click on it this morning because I just don't want to move past this. We throw words around in church like it's no big deal and we just run past it. So one of the words here is you got to understand sin a little bit. I had a hard time with this message because I do not want to feel heavy. But can I just be honest with you? Sin is heavy. It ruins lives. Listen, the word sin basically just means miss the mark. To live missing the mark of God. Sin is living outside of the umbrella of God's instruction for your life. It's living outside the word of God's instruction for your life. In God's eyes, all sin is serious because all sin robs us of the blessing and the favor of God. It exposes us to the consequences of what happens to us outside of his umbrella. When God is instructing us in his word to do something or not do something, it's not to keep us away from being happy. It's not about rules and regulations to take your joy away. No, he's trying to save you. And you're like, save me from what, Pastor Josh? From you. He's trying to save you from you. Listen, he's trying to save you from walking outside of his umbrella because outside of his instruction, it's not where you're going to find satisfaction. It's not going to satisfy you forever. He knows the best life. Listen, God created life, and God knows how to enjoy life. God is not saying, let me steal all the fun and joy out of your life. God is saying, I love you, don't hurt yourself. And when God says do something, he's saying help yourself. And anytime we step outside of God's boundaries, outside of his umbrella, outside of God's favor on our life, we are robbed of enjoying the salvation that he's given to you. I love 1 John 1:6. It says, if we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Here's what that means. If I say me and God are good, but I'm walking outside of God's instruction for my life, me and God are not good. I am not talking justification. Remember, I'm talking manifestation presence with God. We are not good. Me and God are not good when I'm living outside the umbrella of God's word. In fact, in the New Testament, Paul talks about this in Ephesians 4, and he talks about sin not only keeps us from enjoying God's best for our life, but it actually grieves God. Ephesians 4:30, Paul gives a list of all these sins. And at the end of that, he says, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Why is God grieving? Here's why God grieves. Let me show you the love of God. God loves you so much that he knows this is what's best for you under his instruction. And he grieves when you choose to go out here and you think it's best and you're exposed to things that you don't have to be exposed to. And as a father or a mother does, they grieve their children who are walking wayward because they know this would be much better for them. That's the love of God. It's not the punishment and hard-handed God. It's the love of God to give you a better life for you that you can't see, that you don't know, but is to be experienced by living under his umbrella. I wish I had more time to talk about this, but let me give you just a couple of passages. Galatians 6:7, Paul talks about this. That was so wild. And here's the thing. Sin breaks your relationships sin impacts your relationship with God, but it also breaks relationships with one another. Y'all know that? It does. Sin breaks relationships. It hurts other people that are around us that we love. Galatians 6:7, Paul says, do not be deceived. God cannot be what? Mocked. God can't be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. A man reaps what he sows. You know what he's saying? Here's what he said. He said, in every action, there are both unintended and intended consequences to our actions that come into our lives and don't just impact us, impact others, your kids, your grandkids, your spouse, your friends. Why? Because it's about influence. We influence them. The more I walk outside of God's umbrella and I walk around, I find myself standing, and then I find myself sitting in sin. And the more I do that, the further I get away, the more I pull those around me who are trying to fight to stay and live within God's instructions. I start to influence them away from it. That's what sin does. I love, as I thought about that this week, I thought about, like, how would I apply this? Or what's the application? Here's what I wrote. Not fleeing sin, allowing the influences in our lives that are tempting us to step outside of God's word, outside of his instruction for our lives, will not only erode the joy or happiness that God wants for you because of your salvation, but will in turn influence, will create influences in others' people's lives, will also erode those lives around you. That's why this is serious. And that's why the psalmist starts the whole book. And he says, oh, happiness is the one who flees sin. The one who flees sin. Number two, oh, happiness is the one who not only flees it, but absorbs God's word. Look at verse 2. But whose delight is in the law of the Lord, who meditates on his law day and night. He's describing a person who is absorbing the word of God. Psalm 119, 24, I love this. It says, your testimonies are my delight. They are my counselors. He's saying the word of God, the umbrella of God, the instruction of God is my counsel. I live my life based on my counsel. And who's my counsel? The word of God. I'm most happy under the counsel of my life, which is the word of God, God's instructions. Psalm 119:72, it says, the law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of gold and silver pieces. Wow. Do we believe that? Because I find that most people, including myself from time to time, try to chase this. He says, the law, the instruction, the word, your word, God, is better to me than thousands of gold and silver. The writer says he delights in the law of the Lord, but he doesn't just delight in it. He meditates on it. Meditating. That's the word absorbing it, feeling it, applying in his life. It's why King David said, I hide your words in my heart that I might not what? Sin against you. He's saying, I absorb it. I like to think of meditation as sunscreen. Who's wearing sunscreen in Las Vegas this summer? Everybody, right? Come on. If you don't, we'll be calling you. Burned, right? Burned, right? Listen, sunscreen is important. It's great if you have sunscreen at your house. I got lots of sunscreen in my house, in drawers, in the garage. There's sunscreen everywhere. It's great to have sunscreen, but I cannot reap the benefit of sunscreen unless I do what? Put it on. So it's the same way with God's word. Listen, I don't care how many sermons you listen to, how many scriptures have been read over you as a kid. All that's good. Not saying it's bad. I don't care how much you're listening to the word. What I care about is how much are you listening and then applying it to your life. Listen, if you don't apply the word, you don't get the benefit of the word. You have to apply it to get the benefit, just like sunscreen. And if you don't apply it, what the psalmist would say is, flee sin and absorb, apply the word of God. I hide it deep in my heart so that I don't walk outside of your instructions. If you don't apply it in your life, the influences on the outside will start to draw you further and further and further away. And you're like, but Pastor Josh, I'm going to church. Pastor Josh, I'm like around the scriptures and I seem to keep drifting. You know why? Because you're not applying. When you apply the word on your life, then you get the benefit of God's word in your life. You're going to be easily influenced to step outside the umbrella of God, but God's word must be applied. Charles Spurgeon said it like this: meditation is taking a text of scripture and carrying it with you all day and applying it. How's this work in my life? Oh, Blessed, oh, happiness is the one who delights in the word, who meditates on, applies it in their life day by day. And then lastly is this. Blessed, oh, happiness is the one who prospers. I love this picture here of being planted. Verse 3 says it like this. We are a person who is like a tree planted by the streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Now, here's what most of us think. When you hear the word prospers, you know where most of our minds go? Materialism. That is not what the psalmist is saying here. What the psalmist is saying here is when he uses the word prospers, he means growth. He's saying, when I am fleeing sin and I'm absorbing God's word into my life, I will grow. You know, we're in a growing season here at Walk Church, aren't we? So the word is grow this year. And what does Pastor Hayden say? If you grow, we grow. But can I give you the formula to that? The formula to growth is fleeing sin, living under the umbrella of God, and absorbing, applying his word. There is no plan B. There is no plan C. There is no growth where you're not fleeing sin and applying God's word. What the psalmist is saying is the formula. If you do that, you will grow. You will. Our church prospering is not us just growing in numbers, but it's what the Apostle Paul called growing in the fruit of the Spirit. As we flee sin, absorb his word into our life, we start to grow in love. We start to grow in patience. We start to grow in gentleness. We start to grow in holy living and righteousness. We start to grow deeper in love and community for one another. We start to grow in self-control. We start to grow when we are fleeing sin and absorbing his word. The word planted here speaks of stability. Do you know how you got under that umbrella? Because Jesus is flat that good. You didn't earn it. If you're here this morning, can I just a warning sign? If you're here this morning, you've never received Jesus Christ as your Lord, King, and Savior, can I just tell you really quick? There is no umbrella for you. Because there's no umbrella for you, you are exposed to everything in this world that wants to kill, steal, and destroy you from the life that God wanted for you. Do you know why it's important that a child is why kids' ministry is so important, why it's so important to speak the word over kids? You know why? Because the longer they walk without the umbrella of God's favor on their life, the more they are exposed to this world and the more baggage and hurt they have to walk through. Don't believe me? Go meet somebody that comes to Christ at age 60 and let them tell you, I wish so bad that I would have met Jesus when I was 12. Because I lived a whole life not sheltered, enjoying the presence of God over my life, what he had for me. I was exposed to this world and it wrecked me. And God grieves that because he says, you don't have to. You don't have to. And so what the word calls you, he says, you are stable like a tree. He says, you're like a tree planted by the water. You know what the water is? It's the word of God. It's the word. And you're planted under the umbrella of the word, the instructions of God. And he says this, he says, and in time, he says, which yields its fruit in season. You know why I love that? Yields and fruits in season means that your life is full of purpose. Y'all know like apple trees? I know we don't have many of those in Vegas, but apple trees, if you know apple trees, they harvest certain times during the year. But if you go during the winter months to see an apple tree, you look at it, it looks barren. It has leaves, but it looks barren. Y'all with me? Now, is that apple tree still alive? It is, but it's bare because it's doing its work to produce apples, yield a harvest in due season. Here's why that's important. what's important is as a Christian, we're stable by the blood of Jesus Christ. And as we live under the instructions of God, we will go through seasons of our life that feel more difficult than others. And why that's important to understand is this, is because it's a promise on your life that if you will flee sin, absorb God's word in your life will yield its fruit in a season. And just because you're going, this is why people get messed up. Just because you're going to church and you're hearing the word and all that, and you're like, my life's not getting any better. Well, you're probably not applying it, probably not fleeing sin, right? Like I'm trying, Josh, Pastor Josh, and they get really frustrated. Well, like, where's the fruit? Can you listen to me? If you will flee sin, absorb God's word for your life, you will not be the same person 6 months from now. You will see the fruit. Though it may feel bare for a season, you will see the fruit. James 1:2-4 says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. You see the growth? And let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete and lacking nothing. I love that. Like everything, it's what for the Christian who lives under the umbrella of God, for the Christian, Romans 8:28 is a promise. It says that God is using all things in and around your life for your good to grow you up so you can yield fruit of growth. So you can grow. So that 6 months from now, you won't be the same person if you'll continue to flee sin and come up under the instruction of God over your life. And the last thing I'll say this, I think it's so important to understand, is that I'm a tree, I'm stable. I will yield fruit in season. And then last thing, he says that there's a contentment. Your leaves will not wither. I love that. You know what that means? He means I'm going to give you just enough contentment in all seasons. He says you'll be steady when life gets chaotic because you've grown. You know you'll yield fruit in season. You can trust God if you'll just flee sin, absorb his word in your life. By living under the umbrella of God's blessing in your life to enjoy all that God has for you. This is plan A, and there is no plan B. You want to grow? This is how you grow. And the psalmist says, listen, we're going to share a lot of psalms this summer, but if we're not fleeing sin and we're not absorbing his word, not just hearing it, but applying it, you won't grow. But if you do, you will yield fruit in season. You will grow. I promise you. And if you grow, we grow. Can I pray for you? Lord Jesus, I thank you for this word. I thank you for the truth of it. God, I thank you that there's promises in it. I thank you, Lord, for your love for us and how you care for us. God, I pray there's someone in here this morning that's walking around sin. They're maybe even finding themselves standing outside of your covering. And Lord, they're being exposed to the elements and their life seems to be a wreck, Lord. And they know they need to come back to you. God, help them know that you're the good father who has your arms wide open for them as a father would for their son or their daughter. And they would run back to you, flee their sin, and run back to start living under the instructions of your word over their life. God, there's someone here this morning that doesn't know you. I know there's somebody in this room that does not know you as their Lord, King, and Savior. God, they are exposed to everything bad that is in this world. There is an enemy that wants to kill, steal, destroy them. And they will not find peace and rest and satisfaction until they are given the umbrella of your blessing. God, would you save them this morning? In fact, if you're here this morning, just since I should do this, if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus as your Lord, King, and Savior, just ask him right there where you're at. Lord Jesus, just say, Lord Jesus, would you come into my life? Would you save me from me? Would you save me from my sins? I've missed the mark, but I know, Jesus, you never did. So I put my faith in you, not in myself. Come into my life. Be my Savior, my King, my Lord. I will follow you. Help me to live in the blessing of a son or a daughter of the King. Thank you for saving me. I trust you and I follow you. In Jesus' name I pray. If you prayed that prayer this morning, I want you to come up and Pastor Mike's up here. You can come talk to me We'd love to celebrate with you this morning. However the Lord may want you to respond, we would encourage you to do so. If you just walk down this aisle as a symbol of fleeing sin, saying, God, I'm running back to you. I need to be under your umbrella of blessing. Would you run down that aisle? I promise he'll be there. He'll be ready for you. Just run down that aisle. Say, Jesus, I'm ready to step back under the instructions that you have for my life. Lord, however you may move, God, I give you this time. It's your time anyways. You do it better. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.